The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue this morning in Genesis 3. Here we're in the analysis of verse 8. Contrary to how it's often perceived, the local church is designed for believers to come together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. This apart from the traditions of men and any other extracurricular activity otherwise not necessary in order for one to prosper and excel and advance regards to their own spiritual well-being. In that aspect, obviously, God has provided for us all the grace necessary for us to understand and know what His word and plan is for us. This comes through the particular spiritual gift, a communicative gift today that is extant, the pastor-teacher, and then all being filled with God the Holy Spirit, so that God can indeed enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. We must deal with the sin nature. If we let the sin nature have its rulership position in a state of carnality, we will end up distorting, not maximizing and appreciating truly the truth of Bible doctrine. It is hidden from those who are negative. It is hidden from those who persist and insist in regard to trying to field it under their own sin nature, under the energy of the flesh. We must humble ourselves before God, recognizing His power is necessary through the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, in order to truly know these things. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for the communication of the truth of your word, for the understanding of it, for those who are seekers of you, this all being via God the Holy Spirit, as we ask once again this morning in this vein, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, here again in the text, the first man and woman living a life of bliss. This is all changed. As at this point in chapter 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. They have managed to engage in the one act of disobedience that God admonished them not to, under the penalty of two deaths that they would experience. That is, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they did, then dying, he said, you will die. And the evidence regards to the first death, having now been produced and enacted upon in judgment towards them, is seen in the irrational behavior that Adam and Eve now are engaged in. It all shows that something truly is spiritually awry. This, to begin with, the fact that all of a sudden they feel ashamed, uncomfortable in front of one another as husband and wife of being naked. God created them this way. And obviously they should recognize that this was not a sin. This is what God's purpose was for them. It's actually His operational, directive will for them to run around the buff at this point in time in innocence, but they now have a whole new perception in regards to it. And they truly cannot overcome this new human viewpoint perception that the STA, the new indwelling STA, is causing in regards to their thinking in this respect. And they cannot overcome it, recognizing and evidencing the hostility and nature of the flesh in regards to the approach of Bible doctrine, that it cannot even understand these things truly. And they are operating under spiritual death, and hence now the doctrine that they readily adhere to and recognize and appreciate to begin with is lost upon them. Now, the second evidence of something of irrational behavior, and again, I refer to it as irrational because God's intention to begin with this life of bliss in total innocence under the umbrella of absolute righteousness, that was the norm. That is the reality. Bible doctrine is the reality. The sin nature put a big kink in all this. And the sin nature is nothing more truly than an imaginary attempt in one's thinking in order to otherwise avoid God or find an alternative in regards to the reality in regards to their own lives. And the second evidence, the second thing, that aspect that occurs to show that they are acting irrationally now is here in verse 8, as they seek to attempt to hide from God. Rereading the verse here, "And they heard the sound or voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day," or the breeze of the day, in the evening. "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence," the face-to-face encounter, "of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So, Adam and Eve, after making, under Operation Fig Leaf, their little belts to try to cover themselves up, obviously now they hear God walking in the garden. And this is at the evening time of the day, around sunset. And the hithpile of the verb walking here, used of God walking in the garden, denotes a routine occurrence of God engaging in this activity each day. Walking, participle, denotes continuous action. And the continuous action occurs at this point in time in the day. So, at this given point in time of the evening, for Adam and Eve, it was a time when God Himself initiated an assembly of their persons with His person for the purpose of fellowship and obviously instruction in regards to what His plan is for them. We recognize while Adam and Eve were created in His image in regards to their soul essence, they were also created to be in His likeness. This demanded that they grew up spiritually. And in that vein, obviously, demanded that they receive the proper instruction, Bible class, for them to make this maturity adjustment as they were created spiritually immature. That was part of the goal that they were to have in regards to their lives and growing up spiritually. And it is done, it is to be done in an incremental basis. Each day for whatever amount of time God allotted this regards, and it was to be done repetitively. It was essential for them in regards to becoming in the likeness of God. And obviously, its routine basis points to the importance of MPR, most pressing responsibility, in regards to our own Christian life. That for us to fulfill the adjustments to God in its entirety, to include the maturity adjustment, it demands that we commit ourselves, regiment ourselves, and adhere ourselves to the principle of the assembly in Bible class, where the communication of God's Word is being exacted and being performed by the proper functioning communicative gift. And obviously, it is Bible doctrine that is being communicated, and that is to be led by God the Holy Spirit. So God is continuing to communicate, albeit while it is not under theophany, as it would be here in this particular situation. It nevertheless is still just as real, and it is God communicating and proclaiming the truth of this word in this fashion as He uses certain positive males to otherwise teach and communicate Bible doctrine in this way. So they had Bible class. Bible class is not anything new. It is something that was instituted in a perfect environment. Well, if it was necessary in a perfect environment, how much more so would it be, in your logical thinking, in an imperfect environment? Since this is the way that one knows and understands who and what God is and what His plan is for us and what He expects of us. Bible class is all important. It's not anything that is to be taken as, convenience. It is to be what we call it NPR, most pressing responsibility. To be in Bible class on a regular and consistent basis, sufficient so for one to maintain spiritual advance and obviously apply divine good production and grow up spiritually. And at all times, of Adam and Eve's life, right now is a time that they need Bible class more than ever. They need to hear what God has to say, considering now the state that they're in spiritually under the penalty and judgment of death. Now, the language here in verse 8 suggests strongly that Adam and Eve anticipated this moment. It was routine. Why would they not? And they obviously know that essentially they got to face God, and the preferred method in regards to God's communication to them is face to face. His presence was there before them. So that is indeed the preferred method of communication, that is face to face, while tapes or the internet can operate as a substitute. Obviously, it will not ultimately carry an individual. There is way more than just listening to words being spoken in regards to being an adjusted believer and fulfilling God's plan for one life. Today, it means being part of an adjusted local church, being part of this local body, to put up with everybody else's STAs as they put up with your STA and seek to advance themselves in camaraderie with the same goal and intent in life, and that is to secure the prize and maximize in regards to divine good production. It is face-to-face. The tapers, there are people out there still today that think that they're fine and dandy just as long as they listen to tapes, get the notes. Well, you get this tape, and I'm here to tell you, sooner or later, you're going to have to make a hard decision. If you can't get have enough people to support a pastor in your geographical location, then you need to pack up and move and get to where Bible class, sound adjusted Bible teaching is being taught, and become part of the assembly in that respect. So that's one of the areas of attack. You would expect that in the Laodicean period as Christendom and the attitude overall in regards to the Church Universal is to water down the importance and zeal for the truth of Bible doctrine in regards to people's lives. So just pick up point 16 here, page 18 of our notes. While God walking in the garden now was the norm, Bible class is the norm, see. It is the reaction of the man and his wife that betrays a new abnormality present in God's creation. 17, that abnormality is a new sin nature now governing the thinking of Adam and Eve. They're operating under a human viewpoint, running under their emotions, fear, etc., under spiritual death. They're lost. So 18, now the same phrase, the man and his wife, ha'adam ve'esheto, was used back in 2:25 in regards to them both being naked and were not ashamed. The same phrase, the man and his wife, the two places it's used, there and here. And that is to provide a contrast to their previous innocence and condition spiritually to now their new present state. 19, a more complete transformation could not be imagined. That's exactly what the SCA manages to do for you. take and ruin a perfectly good thing. They had a perfectly good thing going, see. But they chose to be disobedient to God. They went on negative volition for a time in their life. They became a seed of Satan for a time of their life, for a period of their life, as unbelievers. They chose to do this, and all under the deceptive practices of temptation, as sponsored by Satan, they would enjoy even a greater and more fulfilling life if they actually did eat of the fruit. Now, that was a deception given to the woman. The man, he knew better. Obviously, they both had Bible doctrine. And the fact that the man knew better implies, at least, that they knew that they were wrong. But they are carried away under the emotional conditions, etc., that we have previously discussed. To get carried away into these things, they become muddled in their thinking, or they just flat out determine that this is the way it's going to be, in contrast to God's plan otherwise. So this complete transformation now has occurred. 20, the trust of innocence is now replaced by fear, guilt, and avoiding Bible class. Avoiding Bible class is avoiding God. Maybe people don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. And that is exactly what they now are trying to do. Avoid Bible class at a time now that they need it more than ever. They need God's help, God's assistance. So 21, an environment designed by God to be enjoyed for both culinary and visual delight, for a phase 2 blessing, essentially, now becomes a hiding place to try and prevent God from seeing them. That shows how the sin nature takes and distorts grace in life. See? And utilizes and abuses it for one's own agenda. So 22, the third masculine singular reflexive of the verb hid. Literally in the Hebrew, and he himself hid the man, then, and his wife, is as it is in the Hebrew. So the third masculine singular reflexive of the verb hid, which is chavah, indicates that Adam took the initiative, with Eve now following his lead. This is what Adam says, all right, this is what we need to do. We need to hide ourselves. God's coming. 23, finally Adam retakes charge in the relationship, but his decisions are now perpetually bad. Too little, too late. See. 24, verse 10 makes clear that fear remains as a motivating factor, now being controlled by human viewpoint in the decision making. As he is inquired by God of what's going on, verse 10, he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Yeah, right. We'll deal with that when we get there. But it does highlight the fact that they are running under the emotions, as they do not have spiritual guidance otherwise of doctrine to draw upon in their spiritual state. So verse 10 makes clear that fear remains as a motivating factor, now being controlled by human viewpoint in the decision making. 25, now more than ever, they need the guidance of God and His instruction as to their plight. And people, when we all face our tests in life, the distractions of the cosmos, our own SCA, others around you, and people start caving in, throwing in the towel, and they think that their resolution is by pursuing something else in life to overcome these pressures in life. And next thing you know, they're blipping out of Bible class. All of a sudden, NPR is no longer NPR. And that is truly the time when the individual most needs Bible doctrine. When we're in those situations. Obviously, we can get carried away on the other end of the coin too when things are going good. But most often you see, in regards to people facing true pressures in life, and they start frantically trying to resolve it, resolve the issues, and the first thing that you see going on their list and start suffering is their NPR, whether it's economic, relationships, or whatever. See, pursuit of happiness, all these things. That's when you need Bible doctrine more than ever. That's when you need to see my ugly mug sitting there eyeball to eyeball with you and saying, this is God's will for your life. So that whatever your SEA is trying to do to you otherwise and whatever else is going on in your life, you have an opportunity to reorient your thinking, to draw upon it, and to let your soul feed on the refreshment of revitalizing your motivation and zeal and drive for Bible doctrine and God's plan for your life. But too often, people think that the prescription, the remedy in regards to their life is blow off Bible class. That is completely and totally bogus. Never have I ever presented it otherwise in my ministry. And I will not ever let up on it. Whatever else and whatever testing is going on in your life, that's fine. That's between you and God. Obviously, I'm not going to call you up and ask you why the hell you're not here. That's your business. But I will constantly keep before you the importance of being in Bible class. Because you let it go. You let it suffer, your spiritual life will suffer. It's obvious when you see it, see. Obviously, we do understand testings and things of this nature. But Bible class, I've had my tests in life, but I didn't have to sacrifice my NPR. I mean, I could have very easily. It would have made my life a little easier, at least that's what, you know, what your SEA convinces you of. To miss a class, start missing classes and things of this nature. Other people are here all the time. No, they don't have your life, but you don't have their life. So, you know. Keep your excuses, save them for the bema. Because they basically bounce off my ears. People can commit themselves. If they want something bad enough, damn it, they'll go get it. They'll find some way to get it. And unfortunately, Bible doctrine is not it for most people. And I don't care how many times I may quote the verse, I cannot still overstate what Hebrews 10:25 says in this vein, even more so as the day approaches. It's not far down the road. So, and obviously for some of us, the day approaches, even apart from the rapture occurring, getting up in age. Then you got James. You know. We'll go off and we'll just profit ourselves and make money and stuff at the expense of doctrine, and you don't even know what your tomorrow will bring for you. Whether God's going to call you to answer then and there or what. So, you know. That's the biblical divine viewpoint in regards to the subject. And that's my job, is to tell you that divine viewpoint and to get it across clearly, loud and clear, whenever I communicate it. And now more than ever, Adam and Eve needs God's guidance, needs His help. And what are they doing? They're running. Running from Bible class. Running from Bible doctrine. Running from God. 26, their avoidance of Bible class highlights the negative volition they have now opted for. And coupled with the SCA, do not want to face the consequences of the truth. John 3:20 makes it very clear. The negative volition, the evidence of negative volition, is they do not come to the light. Because it reveals they don't want to have their works exposed to where they're out of line in regards to their lives otherwise. To paraphrase. You've heard it enough. You know what it says. But yet, people still give these give people like that excuses. Well, you're not going to get it from me. I'm sure not going to cater to it. So it's just evidence. Their avoidance of Bible class is evidence of negative volition that they're now running under. And obviously, they're being led by a new sin nature under spiritual death in this capacity. They don't want to face God's Word sitting there and smacking them across the face for being wrong often. And essentially, that's the picture you get here. All right, point 27. Further, verse 8 now uses the full designation Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, whereas verses 1 through 5, only Elohim was used in dialogue between the serpent and Eve on both parties. So 28, this suggests God's presence to help them even now. That's His grace. See. Even in spite of our failures, etc., the beautiful thing about God's plan is once we decide to choose to get our act back together, bingo, He's there. He is ready to help, forgive as necessary, and to continue to bring about our renewed spiritual advance in that fashion. He told the Jews, Israel, many times in the Old Testament, if you'll get your spiritual act to get back together, I'll forgive you. We'll go back on even keel here, see, under reversion recovery. Here, the term Yahweh, along with the term God, suggests that His face-to-face presence was designed to help them even now, even in spite of their failings. 29, Yahweh is a covenant name, a promise, as it we recognize it to generally refer to the second member of the Godhead. It's an emphasis put upon His person, indicating that God is still interested in them for their good, even though they of their own volition place themselves in a state of alienation. 30, man in his STA-driven ignorance imagines here that he can hide himself from God, as it is across the board. And as I brought out last class, the way people hide from God most often is just don't think about Him. Just disregard Him. Don't even consider it. Put all your attention, all your energy, all your thinking towards whatever you want to pursue in life. And then, and don't even give yourself time to really contemplate your own spiritual being and your relationship with God or God Himself and the truth of doctrine. Or to latch on to some other piece of human viewpoint, sacred cow, that's been introduced to your life in regards to giving you an excuse to reject God. hide yourself under somebody else's little human viewpoint, agenda in life, things of that nature. The ways are innumerable on how one can hide themselves from God. But that's stupid. 31, this alludes to the spiritual death, which death is simply separation. A spiritual separation in regards to their first death as immediate consequence for eating of the forbidden fruit in the phrase, dying you will die. 32, their attempt of separating themselves from God mirrors their spiritual separation. So, the first death is spiritual in nature. They're hiding evidences that they, in their own thinking, are dead to God. Probably in a literal way in their thinking at this point in time. But obviously spiritually. Separation is consistent force that is part of the reality of the existence of mankind. And it all centers on one's volition and orientation and acclimation to Bible doctrine as positive or not as negative. Separation constantly is going on by God. He's causing that separation to occur. Bible doctrine is the two-edged sword that causes it in the essence of intellectual understanding. So 33, two deaths were to be the result of the original sin. He said, dying, you will die. 34, the first is spiritual death. That is the absence of the human spirit, rendering them dichotomous. God created them trichotomous in His image. And now they have lost their human spirit. And that results in spiritual death. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, that's a man under the flesh. Your flesh is your natural body, see. And your brain's made out of flesh. So this is one, a person obviously that is spiritually dead in regards to be either in unbelief or running under sin nature under operational death. But a natural man, your sin nature, put it that way, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For they are a foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Oh, they can read the Bible. They can emote over it and tell you how much they love Jesus. They can understand certain historic events and things of this nature. They can memorize the words. I guarantee you, there's fundies out there that have better memory of verses than I do. But their understanding of it is defunct. It's empty, see. It is superficial at best. So the natural man is one without a human spirit. The human spirit is inoperable otherwise. And that obviously puts somebody at odds, and they fail to even understand spiritual truths. That is God the Holy Spirit under the principle gap. That's what we are in. That's how we are enlightened in regards to understanding the Bible. This is the spiritual realities. I don't know, maybe after, you know, spending the first 30 years of my life being in the Sunday churches, constantly trying to make sense of the Bible, and then when you do sit down, somebody gives you their proper protocol of being in fellowship, and sound teaching, and all of a sudden it's like that diamond shot between your eyes in regards to understanding. You know, why would you ever go back to that vomit that you adhered to begin with? Something that you desire a lot of your life, at least in your thinking, and then all of a sudden it's there. Don't want to give it up. 35, the natural man is absent the human spirit. In unbelief, obviously, that is universally true. Jude 1:19. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, false communicators, the mockers of the last days, the evolutionists, those types of unbelievers, devoid of, literally, spirit. There's no definite article. They do not have the progeny of God the Holy Spirit as their spiritual asset in order to understand doctrine. And hence, in that condition, their SCA completely rules their lives. So they go from being a three parts, trichotomous to dichotomous via absence of the human spirit. 36, man at birth is judged with spiritual deaths, placing the individual under condemnation. That is because Adam could produce nothing any better than himself. The fruit, supernatural fruit that they ate, contaminated the body with the STA virus. You want to put it that way, is a genetic change in their DNA, literally, in that regards. And now, through procreation, they can not produce anything other than that which is dichotomous. Produce a body with the sin nature. Sin nature is a target of judgment. God puts the soul in, but it's minus the human spirit. Because with the sin nature, you are condemned in that condition. So 37, death is simply a separation, no longer existing as previously. So 38, the second part of the warning, you will die, then refers to physical death that came some 930 years later for Adam. Genesis 5:5. Loss of physical immortality was a result of acquiring the aging or death gene, part of the sin nature gene. The transformation of the DNA includes now a new aging and death gene. This is why we get old. Adam and Eve, if they had stayed in their pristine innocence, spiritual condition, would have not ever aged. They would have remained, if you will, youthful in that sense. A fountain of youth, you know, a proverbial fountain of youth, everybody's looking for it. Well, I can tell you where it's at. It's under, it's wherever a plus R exists. Absolute righteousness. You can find something that has absolute righteousness, that's your fountain of youth. And they had it at one time. It's also, it seems to be in the properties of a certain fruit, too. It's referred to as a tree of life. But anyway, you get my idea. So we get older. Eventually, we face physical death. 40, spiritual death perpetuated past physical death. results then in an eternal death or separation from God in all eternity. You're judged for eternal condemnation when you're born into the world under spiritual death. You perpetuate that throughout your life, never make the salvation adjustment, and it transfers into eternal death for all eternity. 41, the only way spiritual death and its consequences can be overturned is for a person to believe in Christ. He undid what the sin nature managed to do, what Satan accomplished in the garden. And that is the rulership of the sin nature. Through 42, Adam in his sinful condition of flesh can produce nothing better than himself. Hence why you had to have the virgin birth, which will be prophesied shortly in the verses to come. 43, so all his posterity are born physically alive, having been given the living soul minus the human spirit. They are spiritually dead. Again, on occasion you'll hear from some palsy believers that have a kid send out a little note, new Johnny, spiritually, physically alive but spiritually dead, welcoming to the world. Smack him a couple times, get a head start on him, would you? But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't do that to an infant. I don't think you would you? 44, Adam's original sin is charged to the newborn, as the newborn is a carrier of the indwelling STA. This is the way it works. This is how it operates. The mechanics. The transferring the sin nature onto all of their progeny. 45, God judges that sinful condition by imputing Adam's original sin to his target, his home, that is the indwelling STA. Wherever the STA exists, is a target for God's judgment. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, that man being Adam, sin, that's the sin nature, that's in view, entered into the world. Act of disobedience, which resulted in the sin nature, if you want to look at it that way, that's fine. And death, that spiritual death, through sin. Sin is what brought it about. And so death spread to all men. The evidence is seen in our physical death that the spiritual death also exists. That the Word of God is true in that regards. God provides evidence of His spiritual truths. Death spread to all men because all sinned. Even before one engages or even has the ability mentally to engage in sin, they're counted as having sinned. How can that be? The only answer is the fact that we possess a sin nature, the indwelling STA. And Adam's original sin is therefore accounted to us. And again, I've heard the moaning and groaning in regards to people, oh, that just doesn't seem fair. Well, my answer is always, you wouldn't have done any better. And if you want to bet me on it, well, we'll take it up at the Bema seat. How much of your SU3 are you willing to give up? Adam's sin resulted in what Paul calls the reign of death. The reign of death. That's verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. Again, Paul definitely understood the ramifications of the sin nature, the flesh, who is a type of him who was to come. So Adam was obvious, while he, with his wife, put us in the condition that we're in, sin condition, he's also a type of Christ. the second Adam. Christ is referred to as the second Adam otherwise. Uh, 47, for salvation from this death, the spiritual death, John 3:14-18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, which the serpent, the bronze serpent, bronze symbolizes judgment, with the Exodus, as they went through the wilderness, God put it to the test where there are all these poisonous vipers and snakes out there. And they were bound to get bit. It's one of those, you know, bad dreams that you have. You're not going to get away from this, probably. You're going to get bit. But in order to not be killed by the poison, Moses took the bronze serpent that God told him to make, and he kept it up on a staff so that the camp could see it from wherever they had. And all they had to do was look up, look at that bronze serpent, and they would be delivered from death. Obviously, you're talking about a miracle, but it all looks to and illustrates Jesus Christ's work on the cross, the suffering involved, etc. And that he took upon himself the sins of which we are deserving of death into his own body in judgment. Even so, the Son of Man must be must the Son of Man be lifted up. Continue in verse 14. That whoever believes may in him have eternal life. And of course you had the idiots out there that wouldn't look. People died. You've got some horrendous disease. It's going to kill you, you know, in 30 minutes if unless you take this shot. No. Keep it. That's how irrational negative volition of the STA truly can be and is. And then he gives the gospel presentation. Obviously, in reality, it looks at the looking up. It means that you believe what God said about the serpent, and now you believe in regards to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to have eternal life, to be delivered from eternal condemnation. For God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. That is potential from the faith that occurs. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might judge the world, but that the world should be delivered through him. Other verses say that he did come to judge. But this is, looks at eternal condemnation. And he was not here to literally establish his kingdom and rule and act as a judge experientially in that regard. But he is here on a spiritual mission at the first advent. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, i.e., imputation of Adam's original sin, imputed to them, and they are spiritually dead. That's their judgment. You're human. That's your judgment for being human. They're judged already, but the reason is because that he has not believed in the name of the uniquely begotten Son of God. That's his reputation. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he does not obey the Son, that is, the command to believe in me, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The consequences of judgment under eternal condemnation in Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Sin simply means miss the mark of God's righteousness. And that spiritual death is in view in your pre-salvation days, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, under the absolute rulership of the sin nature, which you only have the ability to truly engage in human viewpoint, human good, evil in your life, in that condition before God. I don't care how it may appear to be good on the surface otherwise, the humanitarian actions of people and things of this nature. Before God, it is not worthy because it is based on relative righteousness, not on absolute righteousness. God's really picky about who hangs with Him. If you don't have His righteousness, go see your unbelieving brothers. Go see your daddy. That's what He told the Jews. Go see your daddy. Well, obviously I'm being a little facetious with it. But you're of your father the devil, see. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. And see, that again, this emphasizes the absolute rulership of the sin nature. And we're driven by our SCA, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, where the mind is obviously brain computer is part of the flesh. And we're by nature children of wrath. For those who poo-poo the sin nature, what do you do with this verse? By nature, we're children of wrath. Everybody, oh, there's a little good in everybody. Oh, yeah. If you count human good, yeah. I'll go with you on that. If it's human good, of course, they don't know what you're talking about, and usually that resolves the situation. But anyway, even as the rest, unbeliever is an unbeliever, and they're destined for God's wrath, eternal condemnation. But God, being rich in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In spite of our hostility to Him, He still provides salvation. Even before we ever even had an opportunity to determine whether we were going to be positive or negative in that vein. And He provided, obviously, under an unlimited atonement for all men, in spite of the fact that the majority of men will reject Him and raise us up with Him, the promise of resurrection and eternal life in our union with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. So 48, simple faith in Christ cancels spiritual death forever. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ. That's eternal condemnation. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, overcoming being technical code for believing in Jesus Christ, shall not be hurt by the second death, which is eternal death in that regards. All right, take our break.